Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Now I feel even worse.
No!
I continue to feel worse.
Mads, how old are you?
24.
Okay. And I'm not sure that's an appropriate question
to ask her. Yeah, well, I think we ask her every week.
I know.
Do you look at Rob and like, man, that guy's a young buck? Or do you look at Rob like, man, that's an old dad?
Yeah, I can't say I think of him as young. It would be an old dad.
Alrighty.
I love my wife. I'm going to take care of her for the rest of her life.
Did you just say if you could do it all over, you wouldn't have even gotten married when you did?
No. I would have held out longer, another maybe 5 years.
But of course, it would have been the same woman.
I'd be hopeful. No, she would have left me by now. I think God.
Can I answer the question about first surgery?
Please.
It was awesome, actually. He had laser. He had laser. Ow, my knees are hurting.
Ooh, well, sit on my lap.
Okay.
I love it.
I should have a permanent chair.
Can I just finish
here?
So yes. I can get on with
right.
this?
Sorry.
Okay. How many times has she said that?
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes.
Showtime.
And the Google Play Store.
Showtime.
And
Showtime.
Around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Oh, recurring themes on this show all the time. Oscar and I discussing May, December. I was telling the boys that down here in Cocoonville,
yes,
there was a little outdoor dinner that was celebrating a woman's 60th birthday.
Happy
Not unusual
birthday.
For down here.
Makes sense.
And my Happy friend, birthday. Who was apparently at that table.
Your friend.
Later in the week told me that the young lady was 60 years old. Basically a year younger than I am.
Yeah.
And the husband was at the table, too, and he's 79. And I was saying to Oscar that that made me feel good because that you know there's somebody that is me 20 years down the road, which
yeah.
is kind of cool. And then Oscar said, do you think that Carla thought of you as an old man when she married you?
Mm-hmm.
And that immediately took that good feeling and made me feel bad again.
Oscar has the ability to turn cider into vinegar. Drop
the hat.
And I said to her, I said to you, I don't think she did think of me as an old man when she married me. I don't think so.
And that was, the marriage was 11 years ago, right? Isn't it? You're on your 11th year of marriage?
We've been together 15 to 17 years.
Right.
We've been married almost 11.
That's what I thought.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she was. You were 50 and she was 21 or something like that. 29.
Yeah, I would be 50.
Yeah, so you were roughly my age when you married her.
Yeah.
Within, you know, ballpark, as we were saying.
Now I'm starting to feel bad again. We were together a long time before we got married.
Yes.
Because I, of course, was committed to not taking the plunge again. I just didn't think it
was
possible.
Ah, but you're like Larry, though. You love love.
Now
you're
ask
in
you
the
this.
Same camp as he is, and now I feel even worse.
No,
I continue to feel worse.
Mads, how old are you?
I'm 20.
What? Excuse
me? 24.
24. Okay.
And I'm not sure that's an appropriate question.
Do you
to ask
look
her?
At? Yeah. Well, I think we ask her every week.
I know.
I do. Sorry. Do you look at Rob and like, man, that guy's a young buck, or do you look at Rob and like, man, that's an old dad?
Yeah, I can't say I think of him as young. It would be an old dad.
Alrighty. So Carla would have been 29, right?
Right.
Yes.
If I was 50.
So that's ballpark. So the age difference between you and Carla is roughly between me and Maddie.
So much. I hate this discussion.
Carla could
so
have been,
much.
Could have been running our video production, and then you married her.
Exactly.
Hold on.
Yes,
she's
let's bring
exercising.
Her in.
Hey, Carla! Come here for a minute. It's an emergency.
Pull the key out of the treadmill. Come here.
We need you. It's important. They're having their. It's the same discussion. All right, we're gonna get her in.
I hate to bring up the 75 hard, but I looked up the the actual...
Oh, this is... You should reset. This
I'm
is
sorry
a,
we're bothering you in the middle of diet your exercise. Plan.
Oh, she's back. She's back.
All right, I'm sorry. I'm going to get her. I'm getting a microphone for
Mike,
her.
I love that you are bringing this head on.
Right.
Taking I have head to. On. I've dealt with it since we started dating.
Yeah.
I've dealt with that, you know? Carla, microphone.
Oh,
Carla, activated. Microphone.
I think right. it's the age difference now is much more acceptable than it was then, and it was never unacceptable.
Well, as it would be 20 years earlier than that.
Well,
if I was 30
and she was 10?
And she was.
Oh, gross.
That's she not okay.
No, but I'll I'm see, saying that's
I'll see
the
you
way
when
it
you
goes.
Turn 21.
Yeah.
18. It's a reality.
Oh,
all right.
Hi, Carla.
What's up?
Sorry to interrupt your indoor workout.
Sorry, I don't have a permanent chair for you. You want to move over a little bit?
She's she looks like
you want to sit on my lap, little girl.
Hi.
This is the
Hi.
Grossest turn.
All right.
Hey, you want
Hi, Carla.
You want to sit
hey,
on my lap?
Hey, happy Wednesday.
Hi,
so
Carla.
There, the
Hi.
Discussion is going on the age difference and. Somehow, I was talking about the fact that my friend, John,
my friend,
piano teeth.
You know what?
A piano smile.
No,
I love piano.
On, please don't. We were talking about the fact that there was a 60th birthday party and that he mentioned to me that the woman's husband was there. I can tell you've been there.
Yeah, I'm doing cardio.
You sound like Rob. Rob sounds like that when he's sitting in the chair.
Somehow it makes more sense.
Fat. Right.
So we're talking about the fact that there was a 79-year-old man and that there's an age difference there. And,
yeah, that would be 19 years.
And I said it made me feel good that there was, you know, that there they were.
And I, you know what my reply was? There are others.
Oh, that's sweet.
Let me
that's
turn that
sweet.
Down. That's a little, so I said it made me feel good. And because it made me feel good, Oscar said, Oscar's question was, ooh, you were really getting it done there. Huh?
Yeah, I was doing star jumps.
Were you wearing the shades when you...
no, I just, you know...
You wear those for the show?
Well,
Showtime.
If you want to imagine Jackie Onassis on a treadmill, that's what you got.
So, when you married me, did you think of me as an old man when you married
no,
me?
No, not at all.
Really?
Okay. All right. Yeah, not at all. He was in his early 40s. I was, you
no,
know,
no,
23.
We got married. How old was I when we got married?
He's 50.
That was like 7 years later. So you're probably 49.
50.
Oh, wait, 50.
50.
Yeah.
50.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I don't look at the number. I just don't.
When we got married.
Figures
bore her, right? You didn't when we got married. Either.
No, not at all.
Okay, so does that answer your question? Asshole.
At any
that
point.
That was never a part of the discussion.
At any point,
numbers.
Did any of your girlfriends say, he's how old? And that's an honest question.
Yeah.
No.
No. Right.
No, everybody was very supportive.
How much?
I've always been very young. For
Mike's
my
always
age.
Been a lot,
and
fun.
Also
until the last 5 years or so.
Being a man with a certain amount of fame, a lot of people knew his age.
Yeah, that's right. You can look it up.
Mm-hmm.
You can look it up.
Yeah,
okay.
It was on the.
How old's your?
Yeah, but
your
I
mom?
Got crap from my friends right from the get go.
I think my.
Oh yeah,
mom
but
is
they
57?
Give you crap all the
okay,
time.
Yeah, just a few years.
Wait, everybody's talking at the same time.
Sorry.
Hold on a second. Let's.
Yeah,
get
we're
our
having multiple
right.
conversations.
All right, what are you saying, Carl? What did you say?
You are 61, so my mom's 58.
Okay, got it. Mm. Okay,
that's a 3 year age difference, like me and Carrie.
Yeah, ballpark.
Yeah, ballpark.
Yeah,
generational.
Mm-hmm.
I asked
you know,
Mike
being
this question.
Dicks without
you know, it's
to
all about
like
your soul and how that feels towards another person, whether it's male or female.
Soul. Oh, soul.
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry.
I agree. I think Mike. Look, Mike is a young buck. He's got a young soul. I get that.
Soul.
When Mike had his first surgery, when you guys were together, were you like, oh man,
he's such a.
I didn't know,
you know
this was going
to
happen.
He does this to you all the time, Rob, but this is definitely how he sets it up.
I remember the first
Mike
surgery.
Mike is a young buck, and then he launches into when Mike had his first surgery.
Yeah, his back.
That's how
surgery.
He. When he starts to, when Oscar attacks Rob, and when Oscar. You know, Rob's really good at being funny.
Yeah.
And then I know something horrible is coming down the road.
But he learns from the best because a lot of times, you know, Rob is great to travel with, but.
Right. Yeah. Sorry about
that. Well, can I answer the question about
the
first surgery?
Please.
It was awesome, actually. He had
get
laser.
Get a camera, please.
He had laser. Ow, my knees are hurting.
Ooh, well, sit on my lap.
Okay.
Again,
so
with that.
Now we can't see. Now everybody's seeing you.
I love it.
All right. Maybe I should have a permanent chair.
Can I just finish
here?
So I can get on with this?
Sorry.
Okay. How many times has she said that?
Yeah. There it is. There's that funny part we talk about.
It's horrible.
So his first surgery was in Tampa. So we got to travel to Tampa. This is when we were living in Virginia.
Oh.
And we were staying at a really nice hotel with like a pool. So while he was getting a surgery, I was out tanning.
That is, oh, you know what? I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I look at it in a, through a different lens. I figure surgery, wife at the hospital, city.
Worried, knitting. Room. Yeah. Are you going to have a heart attack?
I knew that he would be okay because they say right after the surgery, he can walk within 45 minutes. So I knew, you know,
he was going to be okay.
I'll help him walk.
Yeah, gotcha.
He could walk. He chose not to. Yeah.
Carla,
I had laser spine surgery, what, 15 years ago? Something like that?
At least.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and by the way, that place is out of business.
The first surgery you had was probably your circumcision. And that goes way back.
Well, how do you know he was circumcised?
I know. We traveled
what
together.
What is wrong with you?
Well, I was just
what
trying to
is
think,
wrong with you?
Trying to think of your first surgery.
My first surgery. That's perfect. Perfect. It's an old Saturday Night Live, one of the greatest Saturday Night Live fake commercials ever.
Okay.
The ride of the Lincoln Continental, and they give a guy getting a Jewish kid getting a circumcision in the back of the Lincoln.
And the moil
is there. Perfect.
Oh my
the ride gosh. Of the Lincoln Continental. Still one of the greatest fake spots they've ever done.
If you say so.
We stand corrected.
Exactly.
Okay. I'm glad I could help.
All right, thanks, sweetie.
Bye.
Go back to your inside exercise.
Yeah.
Indoor exercise.
No, not there. Not there. Don't put the headphones there. Thank you very much. Just put them on the floor. Thank you.
Thank you, Carla.
Thank you very much. All right. See you later.
Thank you. Have a great workout.
Bye. Have a good workout.
Bye-bye. All right.
She all right, never 75. Saw age.
No.
Huh?
She never saw age.
No, it's the
age.
Soul. It's the
that's
soul.
Beautiful. The soul. The man within.
So I was, on the flip side, I was given a hard time early on by friends of mine who immediately, when we started dating, she was 22 or 23, and there were people said, is she even 21? And they knew, mm-hmm. Because I owned a bar and stuff like that.
Right.
And that's that was painful for
but
me.
But you got to know, and we've discussed it on the show.
That's jealousy, though.
There's jealousy there, but you hang around a group of ball-busting people, and you like that.
I do. I like that. I will tell you this, though. It was very much I think far more big deal for me than it was for Carla, and especially when it came to meeting the family. And I like to say that Carla and I guarantee you Carla and I had people say, oh my God, how long is this going to last?
Yeah.
That type of thing went on and on, and here we are.
That's not the age thing, though. You'd already been married twice.
Well, it was that combined with, by the way, everybody that I socialized with in a golf community, perceived me, even though I had been dumped in my second marriage.
Yeah, but
I
you're not going to publicize that. Yeah, you're not going to publicize that.
I'm not going
to
publicize it, but because I showed up with Carla, it was, there's the old fart trading his wife in for a new model.
Right.
I got
there's
that
DJ
everywhere.
Doing his DJ things.
But you know, that's also an
you don't
easy,
think
that's an
hurtful,
easy trope.
That was the most hurtful thing of all. It
that's
really
an
was.
Easy trope to go with. I mean, it's almost, I mean, it's an obvious pattern and one that you're going to jump on. And they're not going to like examine your feelings and your soul. And that's not fair.
But there are, you know, I've been around a lot of older guys that, you know, fit that pattern. I certainly think it's a very, very big thing out in Hollywood. You see it all the time out there. The biggest, I think the most famous example would probably be Alec Baldwin.
Yes.
Right now. And then his wife getting in, you know, all that trouble for cultural, what do they call it? Cultural adoption or appropriation, appropriating the Spanish, the Latin culture when she really was, you know, a gringa.
From Boston.
Yeah, and another example was Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah, Jerry Seinfeld, yeah, but not that big. I don't remember it being a big, deal.
Was it Shoshana.
And then there was the greatest example of all time, which, and I think the man was so put upon, Woody Allen. Woody Allen went into the gross category.
Yeah, that's
sorry.
Illegal.
Yeah.
Because it was his adopted daughter, correct?
Really weird.
I don't think I think that
Sun Yi was his adopted daughter.
No, because she was adopted by Mia Farrow and Andre Previn before he married Mia Farrow. So he married the mother of the daughter, but he never adopted her, I believe. Because it's Sun Yi Previn.
Yeah, but you're not justifying that it doesn't just
she
does,
is the adopted seems, daughter of Mia Farrow and musician Andre Previn. Good call, Rob.
Thank you.
Oscar,
I'm not saying it's okay. I'm just laying the deets out.
The guy's got I guess, and this is alleged.
Alan was the mother's boyfriend, Mia Farrow, for over 10 years.
Yeah.
And let's see. She's now 50. And Woody is How come they don't put Woody's age down?
Because he's Woody ageless. And also, Woody is tangentially related to another great Hollywood story, which is that Frank Sinatra likely, well, obviously banged Mia Farrow, but probably banged her mother back in the day in Hollywood, too. So that's a two-generation thing with
Frank
Sinatra.
Who is Mia Farrow's mother?
Isn't it Maureen O'Hara? I have to double check. It's someone of that age. Hold on, give me a sec.
Well, now we're really getting the weeds with it. In Hannah and Her Sisters, isn't Maureen O'Hara in that movie? I believe so.
Yeah.
Is Maureen O'Hara Miracle on 34th Street?
Yeah. I'm sorry. It's Maureen O'Sullivan. Forgive me.
Maureen O'Sullivan is in Hannah and Her Sisters.
Yeah.
Sullivan. I don't know. I don't care anymore. But that's.
But there's a good mother-daughter couplet for Frank Sinatra.
Now we've met Carla's mom. She's very beautiful.
Yeah.
Are you saying something we're not seeing, Mike? Did you ever?
What are you talking about? What are you doing now? What are you doing now? I know you get excited with this topic. What are you talking about? I'm trying to follow along.
I'm trying to follow along.
What about follow along? What about the?
How did you meet Carla?
I met Carla at a party after seeing her and speaking to her at a restaurant bar in Manassas.
I'm asking a question.
And then we went to a private party. We talked for 2.5 hours.
Her
and then we
mother
never stopped
before
dating
you met Carla.
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Met her mother long after. I was nervous going to meet her mother because, of course, of the age difference. You know, I'm walking up the steps to her mom's house, and I'm hearing, purr, 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 purr. Hey, I'm sorry. I'm real about it. I didn't process it with Carla. Never in my mind did I really processed Carla being beautiful far more than I processed her being younger. And then I also, as time grew, I mean, this is, what do they talk about? Grow together.
Yeah.
Grow together. That's we're textbook example of that.
That's sweet.
She made me grow in different ways.
And shrink in different ways.
Okay, shut up. Can you ever slow down?
Just to button it up, Maureen O'Sullivan was Norma in Hannah and Her Sisters. And she was also probably best known for being in the Tarzan movies. Tarzan.
Oh, she was Tarzan. She was Jane.
Yeah, Maureen O'Sullivan and her daughter.
The original Jane with Johnny Weissmuller.
Yeah, so it is theoretically that Frank banged her and banged Mia Farrow. Of course he banged Mia Farrow because they were married.
It's so classy sometimes.
Well, he brought that up.
I didn't bring that up.
And then you asked me.
Well, you brought up Woody Allen, which brought up Mia Farrow. And I was,
everybody was grossed out by Woody Allen.
The Frank Sinatra Mia Farrow, that was a big deal because that was, I think, a 30-year age difference. Mm-hmm. And he got so pissed when she cut her hair for Rosemary's Baby. I don't like broads with short hair.
Mm.
He didn't like it.
What about that random gentleman that came out and said that he was Frank Sinatra's son? Did he ever get claimed?
Oh, no. Well, do you mean?
Allen and Sunyi, Woody Allen and Sunyi, have a rather large age difference. She was born in 70 and is 35 years his junior.
Oof. Oof.
Okay. That's a little odd.
That's
too
much.
You see pictures of them together. That's too much. They began their
like
romantic relationship.
That's like a Price is Right game. We're going to name two Hollywood stars, and you tell me when the age difference is too much.
Too much.
They began their romantic relationship when she was about 21 and he was 57.
Mm.
That's a little odd.
Too much.
That's gross. No, actually, I can't judge. Judge not, lest ye be judged.
That
but
is
I mean,
true.
Woody
that
Allen.
Is true.
Let he who is without sin throw the first stone.
And they're still together.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think little Michael's going to look for a young bride as well when he's ready to get married?
I don't think little Michael's going to look for anyone based on age. And by the way, little Michael, there will be some news that's related to him and young crushes when we get into the bottom. Well, you know what? I can give it to you. I can give it to you right now. That's why.
He's singing.
It's a nice song, Young Love.
Michael was in the store with Mom, and I guess the flowers were there, and there were these little bouquets of flowers. He says, I'd like to buy those. And she said, oh, you're gonna get them for your teacher, or do you want to buy them for Gammy? He said, no. And he mentioned the name of a young girl at school that he has a crush on. That he is actually 7 years old buying flowers for his crush In first grade.
A classmate.
We thought,
wow.
We thought that was truly adorable.
He's got to get his heart broken, Mike.
I know.
Well, he might if he gives the flag. But we're not going to prevent him from doing that. He might as well own up to the reality of it.
Give him the pep talk.
Dealt with that.
Yeah.
What's that? I'm not going to give him a pep talk at seven years of age.
Hey,
I don't need
to. If you ignore him, they'll like you more, little Michael.
Play hard to get.
Excuse me.
Just give it away.
That isn't relevant just yet.
Okay.
All right. Commander, walk down the hill and do them all. That's you.
My sister, my older sister gave me that pep talk after I was heartbroken when I gave this young lady in freshman year in high school a dozen roses and they giggled at me and walked away.
Well, that's the very cruel age.
That's right after
middle school. That's when I may have that discussion. If you want to play hard to get, but I probably would say, children can be cruel.
Yeah.
I don't think that he's risking his heart with this particular situation. They're not even in that zone yet. I'm looking at Rob, whose brain right now is just going,
oh, Mike, I had to turn my gate down on my mic because you could hear the
don't.
It is cute.
That's what I think it is. It's sweet and cute.
What if he's got the chip?
Fine.
What if he's, and I know it's seven, but it's early.
What chip?
This is where the chips are being programmed.
Do I have a kick me sign on my back?
No.
Is the chip? What?
Mike, you or the Omero men tend to fall in love very quick. And that love.
Hold it.
That is incorrect.
I have to jump in here.
That is incorrect.
I'm going to slow my gears down.
I will give you
down.
Statistics to. Okay. To refute that.
Yeah, what I would like first him to cite an example based on that unfounded claim.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm curious.
I will give you my cousins.
I want Oscar to cite an example.
Mike is a constant because of how he's fallen in love and gotten married multiple times. That's a constant. I don't know about the rest.
Well, they're spread out over 30
years. And I don't
want
to put people's business out there. I have one other relative that I know about, but I don't want to put their business out there.
No, I would say we have one family. I'm going to go through the men in our family.
Okay.
And I'm talking about my immediate family,
right,
which would include my cousins.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
And that's where all the men are in my
men,
family. First
men,
of all,
men,
my
men,
father.
Men.
My father married my mother late in life, first marriage, courted her for many years. God rest his soul. Mm-hmm. He died happily married to my mom.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one.
All right.
Okay. Let's move on to cousin number one. Cousin number one would be got married later in life. Two beautiful children, beautiful wife, still happily married today.
Okay.
Can I get two dings, please? Two dings.
Oh, I don't have my thing open, but I'll do that. Yeah, I'll give you two dings for that if you want.
I like hearing the dings, and I know that you're making great points.
So that's my dad.
Okay, yes.
Might want to turn up the volume. That's my dad. Mm-hmm. That's my cousin. Cousin number three.
All right.
Has a relationship with a very lovely woman that has been multiple years, has never been married.
Ever.
Not
oh, wow.
married, no children.
A confirmed bachelor, Oscar.
That's wonderful.
And then you have the final cousin, married once, and that did not work out. Married twice, children from both marriages.
Aww.
Appears to be very happy.
Beautiful. That's beautiful.
In, life. That's
beautiful.
It. Those are, that's the,
it sounds
so
like
I'd
a
say
conservative.
Your statistics
yeah.
are wrong.
It's 40%. It's a high probability.
Oh,
a high probability.
It's 40%.
You know what?
It's
you're conjuring.
Two of the five Omero men.
You're conjuring because your original statement was that the Omero men fall in love quickly.
Oh, okay. There's a problem.
Not true.
I restate that. The Omero men have a 40% probability from the data that was just given to us. This is new data, just broke, that there may be an option B once they get married the first time.
So it's not the fall in love quickly
right,
chip,
you know
it's
what?
The divorce chip.
You know what? Hold on. I don't want to do a funny here because this actually has I've gotten a lightning bolt here.
Okay.
I think we need to have a discussion about why people get married.
Oh yeah.
And whether or not I think this could be this could go on and on and on. But we're going to divorce ourselves from this conversation right now.
I get
and
jokes.
When we come back, we'll finish because I want to find out. I have a very significant theory on why people get married in many cases because I did it.
Really?
And and we'll see what happens after that. There are exceptions to every rule.
Okay.
I would urge everyone in our audience right now that's listening to this, maybe shaking their head or rolling their eyes. Okay. It's not all about you. Anything you want to say, Shecky? Is there anything you, you know, with the pressure on, you know, going to a kicker right now? We're going to continue our discussion on marriage when we come back. It just sort of happens.
I think that, you know, if she's listening, I'd like to say that I love her very much. Carrie, my future ex-wife.
Thank you very much.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Hello there.
Lorenzo, this is my good friend Clark from Kansas.
Vermont.
Yeah. My heart is filled with much happiness in meeting you, he says.
God almighty. Three.
I bet I know what you're thinking, a resemblance, right?
I can't believe it.
He's the real thing, the original merchandise. When they saw him, they based the movie. Is he like a mafia guy? No. Local businessman, importer, that's it. What a kisser, huh?
Unbelievable.
Clark, this is my uncle. Carmine Sabatini. Uncle Carmine, this is Clark. Hey, you know, you never told me your last name.
Kellogg.
Kellogg.
Just like the cereal.
Yeah.
Like the breakfast cereal.
You know, your resemblance to the guy.
Clark, have a seat.
Bulletproof chair.
Thank you.
I feel like I'm not.
No, thank you.
Great movie.
It is.
Welcome me, Uncle Carmine.
Okay. Do you ever try Italian coffee?
No.
How would you like to try a little taste?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Not for me, Uncle Carmine.
Lorenzo, per favore, due espresso.
Two espressos, he says.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, good. Lorenzo, thank you. Grazie.
Thank you, he says.
I know.
Now, this is real Italian coffee. You know, it's not like regular coffee. It's, you know what I mean? It's a little strong, so we gotta put a little sugar in here that cuts the. Cuts the strength of it. You know, maybe a little more. So.
You know, that picture on the wall back there, that wouldn't by any chance be Mussolini.
It ain't Tony Bennett.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
You played the whole clip for that one last line.
I did, didn't you? Absolutely.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Mike O'Mara Show, a daily radio show and podcast with a loyal legion of listeners.
It ain't Tony Bennett.
Who are part of our family.
You want a nut?
And we listen every day in every corner of the world. This is TMOS, heard in great places like Winkelman, Arizona. It's where all the Winkelmans live.
Yeah.
Gold Vein, Virginia. I don't know if they ever had gold there. Maybe.
Maybe.
New Braunfels, Texas. Gladstone, Missouri. Colbert, Washington. And Copacabana, Bolivia. On the shore of Lake Titicaca.
Jim Nance.
Now, have you had a conversation with our friends Mark Livingstone recently? Because, you know, these rates are still fantastic.
They are.
Am I right? Mm-hmm. Am I right? Right. Rates are still at a 50-year low, and you need to take advantage of this massive refinance wave before it becomes a thing of the past. You have to call my good friend Mark Livingstone and his team. They're downstairs at Podcast Village. They have the entire office down there, and they work right under us. We know them personally.
Yes.
Cornerstone First Financial. Other companies quote window rates. What are those? Well, they get you interested without telling you about their junk fees and points. So that makes the cost go up to you.
Yep.
They don't do that at Cornerstone. They're the only company I recommend. Oscar recommends them. Rob recommends
Absolutely.
Them. Why? We literally have all used them to refi and to get mortgages on our homes. 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. These rates will not be this low forever. And with the uncertainty of a new administration, you need to call now. Cornerstone First Financial, 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. Personal attention from application to closing. All right. Speaking of, and I don't know where it came from, but it started today, the discussion of Carla and my age difference. And I'm thinking, if I go back to my original marriage, and without mentioning names, because I still honor that,
right?
I believe that I was someone, and I wonder if I'm alone in this. I was someone who felt like, at my age, when I was young, in my mid-20s, when I got married the first time.
What year?
That 1839. I believed that that was, hear me out here, because it's not that complicated, that getting married was a status symbol.
Like a rite of passage?
It was that by getting married, I was in the club. I felt as though many of my friends were getting married around that time, and that was what, I believe I came from that era where mm-hmm. that's what you do. And by the way, the guys that are down here, they're a little older than me, most of them, but some of them aren't. They all seem to have done that. The younger guys probably have a little worse track record than some of the people that are maybe late 60s down here.
Oh, so culturally, you're saying, at least from your circle of friends in the, I would say, mid-80s, if you were in your 20s and you had two nickels and some sort of stability, your next step was to get married.
I believe if you did, I know there have been sociological studies right. on it. I'm sure you could track this, but that was the way I felt. And I also think that a lot of these marriages may have gone south because mm-hmm. there was that's what you do. You find somebody, you think you have something in common. And, you know, it's the classic, got married too young, but I kind of felt like, oh, this is a person. I think this will work out. Mm-hmm. And there were warning signs for my first marriage all over the place. And I didn't pay attention to it because mm-hmm. I thought I needed to be married. I felt this strong need to be married. And if I had to go back and do it again, I never would have.
I'm
done
getting
that.
A little bit of a mixed message here. Do you think it's more of a status symbol or a societal norm, or is it peer pressure? Because you said both. All your friends were doing it. So it's a mix both. Of them. Okay.
Yeah, I felt it's hard for me to project back to that time and tell you what was going on. But now, when you go back to my parents' era, you have the religious factor
right.
that enters in to a lot of families where you got married, and even if you had the warning signs and you felt yeah. like, even like 10 years into your marriage, you stuck together. That's
yeah, you
the
never
way
got
it was
divorced.
Done.
Yeah,
and now, I don't know, and really, I don't know. I think I do. I think if you're in a horrible marriage, I think it's the brave thing in many cases to not make people suffer, because ultimately it's not just you suffering, but it's people around you that suffer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you're in a bad marriage, I believe that with all my heart, and that's it. And that's why, I know I'm all over the place here.
Now, did you ever get out of that first? This all makes sense, and I appreciate you opening. And
honestly,
for the younger, young bucks and young ladies in our audience, this is a good primer into like why and when or
kids
how you should do this.
Kids nowadays aren't getting married, right? They're not getting married as early or as frequently
out.
As we used to. They're
that's
holding
true.
Out like
yeah.
you did.
Yeah.
Like you
yeah.
did, Oscar, right?
Mm-hmm. I held out because for me at least, I felt like everybody that I knew was married was miserable. And I said, well, why rush into that, Mike? Why rush into that?
I would think someone who loves the struggle.
You're doing shtick, but at the same time, I get it.
I'm here to tell you, if I could do it all over again, I wouldn't. Because it was so much easier when I was alone. I love my wife. I'm going to take care of her the rest of her life. But
did you just say if you could do it all over, you wouldn't have even gotten married when you did?
No. I would have held out longer, another maybe 5 years.
But of course, it would have been the same woman.
I'd be hopeful. No, she would have left me by now. I think God.
Leave her choice out of it. You're given your druthers.
Shannon won't be listening to this show. I love you, Shannon. That's terrible.
He goes home. He's, I don't know why the router's out. We just don't
Rob Spiewak was one of the last people to get married early.
Yeah.
Rob got married in his mid-20s as well.
And I actually, unlike my parents, I chose to get married. My parents were rather forced to get married. And that's a story from a long time ago that you can revisit in an older episode.
Yeah, but if they were a little older, they probably would have stayed in that marriage, correct?
It's hard to say because, you know, they were kids, 19 and 20 when they got married. Think of yourself at 19 getting married.
Yeah, they don't know what the hell
they don't. And you know what? But I
he certainly knew what he was doing with little Robert. You know, and I'm not talking about your grandson.
Yeah.
HBS.
But you know. It's funny. I think that had
the swordsman. It's all in the movie.
It's in the movie. If they had matured together, I think they probably would still be, because they're still great together. They still communicate. It's always been amicable. And this
you've
is
never talked about that. How do they? You say it's amicable, but do
they text?
You know, that's if you don't mind talking about it, and you're old enough now, you can talk about it. Do they ever, is there ever shtick done where, well, of course you wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Is there ever, do you get, I mean, because they were so young.
A little bit.
Can you share any of that at all?
They don't run in the same circles, especially now that my dad, ever since, you know, COVID and even before, he basically lives on the Eastern Shore now. Mm-hmm. So they're not, he keeps a residence in Falls Church, but they see each other at Christmas, holidays, family things. And, you know, there's a hug and a kiss on the cheek and how you doing? And they text each other on birthdays. My mom texts them on their anniversary, which she always. Which I think is very funny. But it's one of, this is a sweet story. I've never told this, is that my dad's mom was in assisted living because she had horrible dementia for the last 10 years of her life. And my dad was a saint about visiting her every week. And I've tried to come along sometimes, and to watch his Herculean effort to visit a person in the last stages of dementia is basically to sit down and do a monologue. And we had this with my Uncle Pete as well, my dad's twin, because they can't reply, but they can still sort of process, right? So you need to talk to them and just do it. And my dad would have his greatest, he said, I'm going to go see Mom and do the greatest hits package, you know, do the stories and everything. And one time he was there and he said, you know, and, you know, everyone makes mistakes. I made some mistakes, Mom. And she said, yes. And I mean, to get a word out of her was crazy. She said, yes. And he said, I made mistakes, Mom. She said, yes. Sharon. And and he said, Sharon, my first wife? And she said, shouldn't have divorced her.
And he shared that with you and your mom?
Yeah, I think my mom knows. I know he shared it with me, and I think my mom knows. But I always thought that was really sweet. Yeah. And I think when you look at that from an older person's perspective, watching their son and daughter-in-law, and we were always, you know, always close as a family, I thought that's pretty telling. They should have stuck together.
Well, I had similar things towards the end of my mom's life, but it was never should have married. Anyway, that's the truth. That's the way I'm telling you.
Did she hold up number one in honor figures, then number two? Yeah.
Well, it was like Oscar at a hospital where they hold up the pain chart that you point to how bad something hurts.
So when they're together, is there ever any snark at all? Under the breath, or maybe with you?
No.
Or even when you're not, and when he's not around, is there ever any kind of...
No. You know? It's there's all good feelings there.
Well, obviously all good feelings, but there had to be some bad feelings if there was a divorce.
Yeah, I will sometimes make a joke, a running joke on the family Zoom meetings during the COVID has been, that happened at one of my mom's weddings, I'll say. And because she's been married
twice. How many times has your mom been married?
Just twice.
Okay.
And she's a widow now, and she's not seeing anybody.
Okay.
But,
all right. So really, yeah, I mean, she had one bad marriage.
Yeah, give her a hard time about stuff like that. And then sometimes I will do something like jokingly about, well, that's his, you know, something, something, something. And I mentioned that Bob and his wife, Kathy, and I'll just say, you know, Kathy, that's the one who got Bob, and you know, but it's just total good natured snark.
I never asked this. If I'm
that's fine.
Getting too personal, tell me to shut the F up. But
all right.
Who left who? Who was the? I think we know that.
Well, I know that my dad moved out for the separation, but you know what? Out of a courtesy to a kid in fourth grade or third, I guess it was. It was vague. We sat down. We had a family meeting.
Was after fourth grade, was there any clarity on it?
No, and I think if they had wanted me to know, they would have told me, and it's their deal. You know, I don't know.
That's really sweet. I'd want to know.
But the other thing is, as far as my marriage, I got married at age 25, proposed at age 24, which, looking back, is awfully young. I think your auto insurance should go down before you take a fiancé. But I knew, and this is really a clear moment of my life. I knew when I decided to marry Carrie or to ask her to marry me, I can tell you where I was. I was at the intersection on Route 50 in Fairfax, right by the International Association of Fire Chiefs, that building right there. It's a mall, like a big shopping center now, but it was right there. I was waiting there, and I was listening to the radio, sitting in my car, and I said, you know what? it's time to get married.
You're and
it hit, me like, it hit me like that. It was so weirdly.
It's the way your brain works, bro.
So weirdly it's the way clear.
Your brain is so differently wired than mine is.
Yeah.
You can remember when you had the idea to pop the questions, but you are not burdened in any way to know who f***ed up in your parents' marriage. I think that is just, that is you. And I think that is really, really spectacular.
I think,
literally am the opposite. I wouldn't ever care where I was when I decided to propose
to Carla. Well, because you're Irish, you want to assign blame.
I want to assign blame. It's important.
It's not important. What's important is that we had a nuclear family, and it wasn't working out, and they took measures to move to a different situation where we all grew up happy, separate, but still
very
together.
Very fortunate.
And
good for them. I've seen so many.
I've seen so many bad divorces and bad mouthing.
So have I.
Yeah. Well, mine from a distance. And so
I'm just trying to block the pain out right now.
I understand.
Is it Stockholm syndrome when you're like, it was great?
Yeah, you have to. Where you befriend your jailer?
Yes.
Yeah. But I grew up with kids, and I see it with people that I'm friends with now that have had acrimonious divorces. And it is so tough on the kids. It really is.
Yes,
you see people that are soured. And
it is.
I do stop sometimes and think, it'd have been really cool to have a mom and a dad at home.
A dad around.
Yeah, all
well,
day.
And I also would urge everybody situation, parents that are splitting up, to absolutely don't diminish the other person when you're around your
high road. You've always said it.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Take the high road. I wish I could say I did that every day, but I don't.
I
couldn't help myself.
It's me.
No, but I do most of the time. I do it. You know.
Yeah.
And then as they got older, I did it because they said, "Hey, shut up."
Yeah.
You know. And you get the message, and so it's on them really. And we've been fine. They're closer to their mother. It's natural.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes.
I guess if I had to assign blame, it would have been my mom and the meth. But I don't know.
I was
when Rob said that he knew that he was in front of Beltway Plaza and he said, "I'm going to Jared to get married." That he knew that he wanted. I don't know if I ever felt the way with Shannon. I felt like
have you to this day? Do you feel that way?
No. I clearly outkicked my coverage. I'm a lucky man.
Yeah,
I'd be lying though if I'm just going to tell you how it is. Being alone is easier. It just is. And it's not because of her. It's
being alone
because of
me. Is easier, you said?
It's easier. Like, you come and go.
Well,
if you
feel that way, I disagree. I think being together with somebody is.
Well, you have a caregiver. You have a caregiver. You need someone in your house. Miles will be married.
So you're saying that for Mike it's different because he requires assistance?
Yes.
Super dick move right there.
Any points? Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yes. We'll come back with. I'm sorry. This is not over yet. Play the effing music. For God's sake. And then we'll get the story of Captain Soulless Monster and how he feels like being alone. Maybe forget it. We'll come back with more right here. He made me speechless. We'll be right back, everybody. Hello, everybody. This is Bob Barker. And yes, I'm still alive. When I was hosting The Price is Right from Television City in Hollywood, we played a lot of pricing games. Barker's Bargain Bar, Hole in One, Punch a Budge, Grocery Game, Golden Road, Plinko, and of course the lamest one of all, the Bonus Game. I hated the Bonus Game. If you want a good bonus, why not try the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show? It's a commercial-free, uncensored 6 hours of TMOS every week. Blah, blah, blah. I like when they say bad words. That's how much it meant to me. You can buy it at MikeO'MaraShow.com. It's a fun way to support TMOS. Thank you. And don't forget to help control the internet population. Have your podcasters spayed or neutered. Goodbye, everybody. Thank you, Bob. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. No matter what happens, I know this. As long as I have my Sleep Number bed, I can end each day on a high note.
Yes.
Quality sleep is more important than ever as we balance life and health in 2021. Not only is it a natural immunity booster, but it also helps with energy and recovery. And this is amazing. Sleepers who routinely use the Sleep Number 360 smart bed features get almost 100 hours more proven quality sleep per year based on internal analysis of sleep sessions.
Think of that, Mike. That's like four days of sleep.
Yes.
Crazy.
And it's spectacular.
Yes.
A great day starts the night before. My sleep number setting is an 85. Carla's is a 65. It's just the best. Proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. And now save 50%. Great time to get one on the Sleep Number 360 Limited Edition Smart Bed. We have been associating this show with Sleep Number for many years because it's a wonderful product and we're proud of it. Special financing on all smart beds. This is the time to do it. Only for a limited time at Sleep Number stores and at sleepnumber.com/TMOS. Subject to credit approval, minimum monthly payments required. See sleepnumber.com for details. Just make sure, please do this for us, that they know that Mike O'Mara sent you, because they have been with us over 10 years.
Yes.
And that is why, because you let people know when you go in there and you buy a Sleep Number bed, they've got me in their system. And if you say, hey, Mike O'Mara, listen, I heard about it on the Mike O'Mara show, go get yourself a great bed. All right, back to Oscar and his...
Because it's easier to be alone.
Oscar's take.
Oscar's marriage.
Very strange that you are discussing the fact that better to be alone. Very unusual for a married person to say that, but I suppose it's
especially
it's the
in
way
a public
you feel
forum with a permanent forum. Record.
Right, exactly.
Look, I don't, she may feel the same way. Well, no. I've brought a lot to her life. Value, I would say.
I agree. Look, she value. Seems, every day I see her, Mike, she seems happier than the day before. You should have heard them on the phone. I had a phone call with them yesterday.
Yeah, I brought a lot to her life of value.
Quotes from yesterday's phone call.
Upward mobility.
Oscar's talking to me about something show-related. It was a 10-second phone call, and he says, hold on, Rob. Shannon, can you please focus and do what you should be doing?
I didn't say that.
That's what you said.
I said, if you do what you're supposed to be focusing on, we'll be done with this faster. So
it's not what I heard.
That's right. Coming from King Midas.
All right. So
very good.
Mm-hmm. For those, if Pony came to me and he had anything going on with his life, like if he had any prospects of like something better than what he has today. Not right. When girlfriends, but just like career-wise.
What could that possibly be?
Okay, how about Pony's the wrong guy.
Right?
Who's successful in our life that's single? Who is successful that's single?
Single successful guy?
Yes.
Married off.
How about Maddie? Maddie. If
not
Maddie
a guy.
Came to me, let's not do a gender. It's not about gender.
All right.
If Maddie came to me and said, I'm marrying John next year.
Congratulations.
Don't start rumors.
All right.
And she's like, I'm ready. I'm not going to tell her what to do or not to do, but I'm going to ask her to weigh her options and say, look, what are your career goals? Where do you see yourself in 5 years? How are you going to be able to sacrifice? Like, what if he wants to start a family sooner than you do? Mm-hmm. There's all these dynamics you don't account for when you're getting married, especially when you're really putting everything you can into multiple businesses. And there are times where there is strain when you just want to continue working. And they want you to come home, or vice versa. You want them to continue working, and they want to go home.
All right. Yes. I direct you to the film, The Drumming Movie, with the guy from the insurance ads.
Mm. Something Line? The title something, of it. I'll find out.
Not Drumline.
No.
Not Drumline. That's
Starts with the Ness.
Hannah and her sisters.
It was the name of a song.
Isn't it Whiplash?
Whiplash. Thank you,
thank
Pony.
Thank you.
And Pony, congratulations on your upcoming marriage.
Pony, remember in the movie Whiplash when he dumps that 10 that he has begun to date because he thinks it's going to interfere with his drumming and being the greatest there ever was? And he throws that away because you cannot... the heart... and the head cannot intersect. You have to lead with the heart. It has to be love, love, love. Now, I realize I've been married 3 times and I shouldn't, but at least I got it right on the third time.
Let me clarify here. What I just said probably doesn't seem this way, and I get it if you're like, but you just said, Oscar, I love my wife.
All right, good.
I feel lucky to be married to her.
Right.
The question was, would I go back and get married again at the same time in my life that I did originally?
You
which
were
is 5 years ago.
37 when you got married,
yes.
Right? Okay.
I think I could have held out and still had her in my life till I was 45. It would have been great.
That's all right if you feel that. But I mean, you're saying it's just strange to hear that. You are more comfortable, you're saying, being alone. Is that
well, it? Well, it would. It's, so this is when, for those of you that are about to get married or have gotten married, you know that there's something changes when you get married.
That's yes.
when,
true.
When the you becomes us.
We.
Yes.
Yeah. Are we. And then when.
In many cases, entire friendships can be modified.
Yes.
In a very dramatic way. So, that happens. That's reality. And
there's another qualifier. Pandemic, I'll take my wife all day. She's a 10 out of 10. I fall in love with her all over again.
You silver tongue devil.
Pre-pandemic, could have been alone till I was 45.
That's a good, you gotta, Rob, I guess we have to extract the positives out of that a little bit.
I see that if, let's use our rock and roll time machine and go back 6 years, and Oscar's mm-hmm. still single, and mm-hmm. he's still with Shannon, and mm-hmm. they're still dating, but, mm-hmm. and you were cohabitating then, you lived together,
yes.
right?
Yes.
But you're single. I see that in present day, there'd be a lot more trips to Florida.
Look, everybody's you, different.
Peach? I'm on a boat, Peach.
Everybody is different.
Yeah.
And I am living proof you never can predict or mm-hmm. plan or let it. It doesn't work out that way.
At any
and
point,
I consider myself lucky because I didn't follow my head on certain things. I actually said, I remember the first time marriage was discussed with my third wife. And I was like, blah! We got married, all right? Yeah. Then a baby was brought up. And then it was like, blah! Well, I came on this very show mm-hmm. and made the announcement that Carla was pregnant with Michael. And it was incredible. What I didn't anticipate is that it would be better than I ever could have dreamed. And people, here's the problem. Everybody, can I get, this is the one piece of advice I will give everybody.
Okay.
You go with what you think is right, no matter what. Do not, when it comes to relationships in particular.
Don't take other people's advice.
You are going to hear more people mm-hmm. that are going to tell you what they think. Look, if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But at the same time, everybody, the same thing with having a kid.
Right.
I always hated the people, oh my God, get ready for your life. No, it's. I think having a baby and having children is absolutely spectacular.
The only advice you need to take comes from our friend Kanye West when he screamed prenup.
Oh my God, here we go. Yeah. Yes, lay it on us, please.
No, prenup.
Prenup is it? Prenup. Yeah.
Look, you're going to say, look, this is the time.
I refuse to sign one.
You sit him down and you say, look, I don't want to do this.
He refused to sign what Gary wanted him to.
But our family attorney, you could have one or not have one, says we have to get this done. You will be taken care of. Don't worry. But we have to get this done. It's my parents are on my back or blame it
Maybe
on a grandparent.
Maybe that's why we're still together because I have the giant, you will not be taken care of clause. That's
Can I ask one final question of Oscar?
Because, one final question, then we have to move on to
other things. He's truly an onion. And
I'm just keeping it real.
I understand. But Mike and I both, I think, part at least most of why we got married the first time for Mike in my current marriage, it's a tradition. It was traditional. It was what was done. Mm-hmm. It was sort of mm-hmm. the next step in a relationship. And right. there really was not any great change in how Carrie and I operated day to day by getting married, except that we were legally married. Was there any sort of...
Tevye. All right.
Tradition!
Our position is precarious, like right, a fiddler on the roof.
Okay.
Was there any tradition or any sort of social moray that at least drove you towards marriage? Or was that totally out of the picture by the time you proposed to her? Because, I mean, it was for many years.
Two things kept me from getting married early on.
Okay.
My father saying they can all get pregnant and remember that. So always took care of that, you know, wear protection. And then, because if I would have had a kid, I probably would have gotten married because I wouldn't want a kid to grow up without a father.
That's right. He was so, El Bastardo.
That's one.
Yes.
And then two, seeing people getting married when I was younger, like your guys were talking in their 20s.
Yeah.
And then knocking on my door or on Facebook being like, hey, I just got divorced. Like I see, like you still like thinking that I still go out. So they want to re-enter society.
Right.
What happens is you get extracted from your social
circle.
The
rebound.
Right. Yeah. And then going out with them. And hearing how they're living in a studio apartment in D.C. and the house is the Great Falls home is with them and the children, wherever it was. Mm-hmm. And then just seeing how your life gets decimated by a divorce financially, That kept me from going there.
So you feared the initial reset following a possible failure.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I believe his materialism is on full display. So that's wonderful. Well,
that's, I'd marry them if I got them pregnant.
I'm that's so glad. You know,
I find her to be a very honest and loyal man. But I mean, when you hear these discussions, it scares the crap out of me.
Yeah.
We'll take a
break.
What
happened to your house in Great Falls?
Yeah. Oh, really? She got it. Oh, anyway, we'll
take a break. I thought your house was in Haymarket.
Mine was in Haymarket. Yeah, mine was in Haymarket.
Sunny
big,
days.
Big house.
Yep.
Yeah, you could have 20 families live at that house. Back in the day. I was only a sidekick, really, when you think about it. Pretty good. Pretty good. Heydays of radio. We'll take a break, and we'll come back with, I have no idea.
Something
right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hello, it's me, Bill. Did you see me at the inauguration? A lot of people said I looked old. Some people even thought I fell asleep. I must tell you emphatically, this is not true. In fact, I only had shut my eyes to concentrate on the TMOS Shopping Center.
True.
With Valentine's Day coming up, the TMOS Shopping Center is the best way to shop at Target and Walmart while supporting your favorite podcast. Just click on the banner at MikeOMaraShow.com. Buy chocolates, jewelry, oils, stimulating creams, under things, even bedroom novelties. And you can have them delivered anywhere you want. Because maybe you don't
still
want
married.
Your wife to see them. Who
first,
knows?
First marriage.
Choice is yours. This February 14th will be the best ever thanks to the TMOA Shopping Center. And remember, Valentine's Day is the only VD that I pay attention to. Hello, how are you?
Thank you, Bill.
How are
Listen,
you?
I want to tell you about Theragun. The stress of daily life can weigh on your body, whether you're an elite athlete like me or just try, a guy trying to make it through the day tension-free. There are a lot of percussive therapy devices out there, but I want to tell you about the best. It's Theragun.
Yes.
And I don't know whether they want to say that or not, but but it is true. I love this device. It's incredible, and it's got speed. It's got power. It's super quiet.
Quiet,
the Gen 4 Theragun gets to the source of your pain, your muscle tension, by releasing it. Use Theragun's signature percussive therapy, and it'll get 60% deeper than a vibrating device alone.
Yes.
The OLED screen and design is amazing. I just love the way it's built. You got to go to their site and check it out. Plus, the Theragun app learns from your behaviors and suggests guided routines. Theragun is trusted by 250 professional sports teams. That should tell you everything. Hundreds of thousands of customers as well, and elite athletes like me. Try Theragun for 30 days. Starting at only $199, go to Theragun.com/TMOS right now and get your Gen 4 Theragun today. Next time I talk about Theragun, I'm going to bring it in and show you how it works.
Oh, it's great.
I'm going to plug the whole thing in and show you. It's so spectacular. Actually, I don't have to plug it in. It's got its battery out.
Battery.
Theragun.com/TMOS. Theragun.com/TMOS. Are we running like turbo late right now? Or
Mike, if we were to do a 40-second break, we'll be right caught up.
All right, just a little bit.
No, we're fine.
You
we
do have
a
another really, really quick. You have another snow event coming to D.C.
I hope this is
for people around the country. I hope you're not bored by this, but I get fascinated because I used to live in Washington, D.C., and I know that it is always this dance of yes or no. Even with the COVID, with people working from home, you apparently are the hype machine is in full hype mode about an upcoming snowstorm.
Mike,
and I know Rob Spiewak is buying in this
It's
time.
A great hype machine because it's a double-fisted snow event, they're calling it, because it's 42 hours. It's going to start during rush hour. They're vague on the start time. They're saying it's starting about rush hour today, which is going to, it can be anywhere from like 4 till 8, and then there's going to be snow overnight, then a pause, then another low-pressure system coming in, and more snow, and they're really fudging the north, south, east, west lines, but everyone seems to agree that it's going to be 2-4 or 5-inch events, and that's enough to really make this city spin. And I don't know, there, I get
you
nervous.
You are every inch Northern Virginia.
Well, Mike, here's where
you are buying into this hype
machine. I've lived
there
my entire life, but here's the deal. I think that we get the most snow when the meteorologists don't make a fist. And they are, nobody knows, nobody's in agreement.
I get what you're saying. What you're saying is that when they don't come out and hype it, turbo hype it, you get more snow.
And, yeah.
But now, by the way,
because I don't think they understand
the time
the
of year.
Yeah, you're right.
This is the time of year that we get the most snow in the Mid-Atlantic. Mm-hmm. That's the way it goes.
Also, what Rob's say been you, traumatized. He's been traumatized. Rob's been, he literally just got sideswiped by a snowplow.
Exactly.
The last thing he wants is that thing coming back.
That's what it is. Mm. He's totally freaked out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you get that car fixed yet? Did you get the body work done yet?
No, I still have to have the interview with the other insurance company. So I'm going to probably handle that.
That's a phone thing, though.
That's a phone thing.
That was like 3 weeks ago. Are you going to address that?
Will you conjure with the other insurance company?
Mike, there's no need to conjure.
He got sideswiped like 3 weeks ago. Like, if I had my car messed up, I'd want to get it fixed ASAP.
I actually took care of my part of it the night of.
Oh, good.
And
I stand corrected.
The other company has been a little slow getting back to me, and it's been busy at the office. I haven't had a chance. It's been a couple days. We've been
so insurance? Will you conjure with the insurance?
It's eerie.
I shouldn't ask you that. That's what? That. I'm just saying, like,
no,
you know,
there's no need
to
conjure.
I'll tell you, my neck is really bothering me.
Loss of enjoyment of life. Of
yeah, exactly. Right. I've got no feeling from here down and no sense of smell. What?
Right.
Do you suppose that's related?
No. Does your wife still believe that you could have gotten out of the way?
We're not speaking.
Interesting. There we go. Keep us. But when's the snow supposed to arrive?
Dinner time today. I'm going to say 5 o'clock. According to the weather app that I have, 5 o'clock in Leesburg, 6 o'clock in the district. So we'll see.
That's your weather app.
Tomorrow.
And, no, it's overnight and then more tomorrow. Hmm.
And what is Tom? What is Tom Curran? What is
what
your meteorologist?
What does Willard Scott say?
What does Willard say right now?
Tucker
what is Topper saying? What does Topper Shutt say?
I don't know. That's the worst.
Is Topper still working?
Yes,
I never hear about Topper.
I don't look at that. I don't look at his
what does Howard Bernstein say?
He says, oh, it's such snow.
Okay. It's such snow. It cool your head. We'll take a break. Come back with news you may not need, including a very dumb kicker in the news today, right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
He wants candy.
There she is.
Well, we should have something fruit.
She loves candy.
Airheads, they're sour. Sour
love
Patch.
You, Peach.
Watermelon flavored one.
Sweet Tarts.
Nerds. Peanut. Black licorice.
Shannon.
Good and Plenty. Chocolate.
A Hershey bar.
Peanut butter cup.
Watermelon.
Bit of honey.
I ate all of my favorite candies.
Don't worry, Peach. You can stock up on all your favorites through the Mike O'Mara Shopping Center. Click the banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Oh, hey, Peach. Sorry. Always forget. Too late. Thank you. There's your truff hot sauce right there. Loved by everybody. Rob Spiewak, you love it. It's fantastic.
Last night, right Carrie made stuffed salmon from Costco, and it's fine. It's fine, right? But you put a little truff hot sauce on that, and it sings. And here's the deal. It's not a really oppressive back burn. It's the proper balance of spice. It's what they call a front burn on a hot sauce, and it is so balanced, it brings out and enhances the flavors of what you're eating and takes it to the next level. So
let me tell you what I think about truff. It's the truffle factor that enhances this. It gives the body to it that makes it above all the other hot sauces.
I believe,
and
Mike,
just makes it a little more special.
The word is umami, and it's that...
Hey, don't talk about my mommy.
And it is it's an extra layer of flavor that is just fantastic.
Try the Truff flagship hot sauce, the one I'm holding. They also have hotter hot sauce and the premium white Truff hot sauce. Perfect heat blended with the taste of the luxurious and fragrant white truffle.
Trouble.
See for yourself why Truff is the biggest hot sauce on Instagram and TikTok. And right now, get 10% off site-wide plus free shipping when you use promo code TMOS at Truff.com. That's 10% off plus free shipping on everything, including the white Truff VIP box and the wonderful Truff variety pack. Just shop at Truff.com. That's T-R-U-F-F. Remember, the F-F is in five fingers. Truff.com. And use promo code TMOS. Yummy, yummy love in my tummy.
News.
Truff.
Truff.
Boo.
Truff.
Truff.
Sure. A lot of people are on the hot seat now for how they treated Britney Spears over the years. But one person who's getting a boost from it And a guy that I wish was still on television, yeah, there's so many that I do, is Craig Ferguson. He basically reached hero status yesterday after a clip of him refusing to make fun of Britney went viral. I watched the entire 12-minute clip.
Wow.
And it is so impressive when he talks about his battles with addiction and how some people are really, really hurting. He hosted, by the way, for you younger listeners to this, The Late Late Show, right after Britney had that meltdown and shaved her head in 2007. He told his audience, quote, "Comedy should have a certain amount of joy in it. It should not be about attacking the power. It should be about attacking the powerful people, attacking the politicians and the Trumps." He said that back in 2007.
Wow.
The blowhards and going after them. "We shouldn't be attacking vulnerable people. I think my aim's been off a bit recently." It's so brave when you watch this, and he's so articulate and he's so natural
at ease
on television.
At ease. Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's ever been a talk show host more natural on TV. God, I wish he still had a show. He says, "I want to change it a bit. As for Britney," he said, "this woman has two kids. She's 25 years old. She's a baby herself. She's a baby. As a former alcoholic, Ferguson realized that Britney needed help, not ridicule. And he talked a lot about her, his own struggles, too. It's actually pretty powerful." It is powerful. I urge everybody to take a look at it. A lot of people are on the hot seat now for how they treated Britney Spears over the years. But, you know, that not Craig Ferguson. And it really is interesting. And Carl and I are going to watch that documentary tonight about Britney Spears and see. And I think that, you know, look, there's nothing wrong with a little hindsight saying, yeah, we could have done better. Nothing wrong with that. Yeah. But I'll reserve, you know, my comment on it for when I come back, because I was in that club of people that probably poked fun. We all did.
We did, but also, if you go back historically, we had a different national mood and mindset at that time. Mm-hmm. I think we're a kinder nation now. Doesn't make it okay, but as with so many things, it needs to be taken in historical context. And especially when you do that, it makes what he did even braver, I think.
This is a good story, too. Another somewhat serious story. The clothes that Alex Trebek wore on Jeopardy will be donated to a charity that provides clothes to the homeless people for job interviews. The organization is called the Doe Fund, and the wardrobe will go to its Ready, Willing, and Able reentry program, which helps get people back on their feet. A Jeopardy producer said, quote, "During his last day, Alex extolled the virtues of everyone opening up their hands and their hearts to those who are suffering. This is the perfect way to begin to honor that last request." The final inventory that was donated includes 58 dress shirts, 14 suits, 300 neckties, 25 polo shirts, 14 sweaters, 9 sport coats, 9 pairs of dress shoes, 15 belts, 2 parkas, and 3 pairs of dress slacks. The Dope Fund sent a thank you saying, quote, "The men in our career training program are always in need of professional attire so they can shine in their job interviews and work with confidence once they're hired. This donation alleviates the obstacle of not having appropriate clothing." Alex passed away from pancreatic cancer on November 8th. I think that's kind of cool.
Fantastic. Hey,
I think you could do a lot worse than the Alex Trebek wardrobe. I mean, he looked good on the TV. Mm-hmm. I know that.
In an effort to keep up, Jimmy Fallon donated to the same organization 3 sarcastic laughs.
Jimmy Fallon. There you go. Jimmy Fallon trying to do political humor is one of the most painful things to watch.
He's a fraud because he waited so long to do it.
He waited because he hates doing it.
But he was friends with Trump.
Yeah, and he doesn't care about doing that kind of content because he's not good at it.
What he likes to do is a prepared impression bit.
I hope that we get a follow-up on this particular story because I'd like to know whether it's true or not. The Super Bowl streaker may have made a lot of money off of his stunt. This is what the guy claims. He claims that he bet $50,000 on a prop bet at 15-2 that there would be a streaker at the Super Bowl. And he supposedly won around $374,000. It's unclear if he actually did or if that's even legal to do for what it's worth. By the way, I think, let me tell you why I believe it, why it might be true. Because a guy that would be dumb enough to streak would be dumb enough to make that prop bet and make that kind of money and then talk about it.
Yes.
Yeah. True.
You know what I mean? If you keep your mouth closed, could he be that stupid?
Unless, does he mention in his discussion where he placed the bet?
No. Yes, it's my bookie.
It could be some sort of messed up scheme for the betting agency. They say, he said, well, I want all this money from Planet X betting, and you can too with a crazy, they'll take any bet. And maybe it's a way to promote a betting agency.
Way over there.
Yeah,
that's
I think you're looking way into this. So I see what you're saying. Maybe if it was a rogue agency,
right,
and that they wanted their logo on his chest or
right.
whatever it may
we
be.
We advertised a sports book talking about prop bets.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. That you could bet on which coach would show the nostrils first.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
And by the way, I think it was Andy Reid. I think ultimately it was Andy Reid, but I don't know for sure. But we don't know, and this will go away because I don't think that. But I would see a sport. It says here a spokesperson for a sports book says there's no way anyone would take $50,000 on a prop bet like that. I disagree. I think they'd take money.
Of course, they'd love to take money.
I think they would take money. Yeah. We'll have to wait and see.
We'll keep an eye out.
It's interesting, to say the least. I would love if they would do a follow-up. Valentine's Day is still happening in full force this year anyway. According to a new survey, 62% of people say the holiday is still important this year. Important? Aww. Really? Just about half say the pandemic won't affect how much they spend on Valentine's Day. Well, it wouldn't with me because I don't think it's really relevant. I mean, it's, you know, that's it.
I wonder how John Tesh will handle Valentine's Day.
Just about half say the pandemic won't affect how much they spend on Valentine's Day. The survey also found 64% of people think you don't really need to spend more than $100 on Valentine's Day, but only 7% of people think you shouldn't spend anything. By the way, Valentine's Day is said to improve brain function. If you buy your love a lovely set of chocolates, you, Tesh.
Tesh.
Index card
radio. Tesh on the zoo.
Crap. And now a little something. A guard. Yeah, we want to play the guards. A guard at a prison in Cape Vincent, New York, just found an inmate trying to hide a weapon inside his nose. The guard says he spotted a miniature shiv in the guy's nostril that was, quote, a piece of ceramic sharpened on one end and melted into a plastic cap. That inmate is currently doing 18 years for attempted murder where he presumably used a larger weapon. After he was busted with the weapon in his nostril, he snorted out the micro shiv and handed it to the guard. And now he's waiting for disciplinary charges.
Mm.
But the good news is he no longer has that pesky sinus infection. Sorry. That was so jive. I'm sorry.
I can finally breathe.
Oh, my God. Series of nosebleeds. There you go, everybody.
What a ceramic shiv.
Yeah. You got to realize, how long would that be to cause damage? Well, you know, they do it like that. Oh, God. Gross. 18 years for attempted murder. We got to take a break. We'll come back with the audio vault right here on the Mike O'Mara Show every day.
Introducing Dermglow Skin, the amazing skincare line from Carla O'Mara that's helping people look and feel better about their face. And now there's something new from Dermglow Skin.
Marriage.
Introducing Mike's Package. A skincare routine that'll make your skin feel and look spectacular. Mike's Package includes a cleansing repair bar, timeless face oil moisturizer, SPF 30 protective lotion, and exfoliating citrus scrub. And Mike's Package comes in two sizes you can choose from. The little size package contains travel size products for when you're on the go. And the big package has all of your full size facial care essentials that'll make your face sing. Get these incredible products at DermGlowSkin.com and call Carla for a free skincare consultation at 239-247-4036. That's DermGlowSkin.com, 239-247-4036. DermGlowSkin. That's DermGlow skin.com. Feel better about yourself today. That's what
makes you better. Oh, Magoo. He loves to have that phone ring. Anyway, hi, I'm Mike O'Mara, and I have a problem.
Oh, no.
I can't seem to get enough cheese. I'm like a big mouse. Oscar, do you think that's an allergy or something?
Don't know.
Cheese. Speaking of Oscar, he's become, he has some complaints too. He is suffering from Malta fever, beriberi, and that dreaded of all diseases, mojo on the go-go.
Oh, it's horrible.
It's mojo, M-O-J-O.
No, mogo on the go-go.
Oh, it's mogo on the go-go. Did I do it right? All right.
Yeah,
I'm
you
sorry.
Did. That's fine.
Speaking of Oscar.
Yes.
See?
He has some complaints, too. He's suffering from Malta fever, beriberi, and that dreaded of all diseases, Mogo on the go-go-go.
It's horrible.
We're planning a telethon. Pony has scabs, Maddie is deaf in one ear and blind in one eye, and Rob, surprisingly, Rob is just fine. Do you know why?
Why?
Because laughter is the best medicine, and Rob laughs a lot. As a matter of fact, the World Health Organization just said that laughter is more effective than Johnson & Johnson's vaccine.
It's true.
But then, to be fair, so are gummy vitamins.
Oh, no.
Are you putting down the Johnson?
Hey, we're just having a good time, folks.
Still, why risk it? Add some laughs to your life and boost your chances to live. Get some bonus laughs with the TMOS bonus show. Hit up the Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Click the bonus banner. Extra TMOS will result in increased efficacy in your funny bone, and you're supporting your favorite podcast. You can get your second dose next Friday and every Friday after. Please support the TMOS bonus show, your passport to good health and the Asport. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let's open up the audio vault. A little abbreviated. Sorry, running out of time.
Oscar, sorry about your beriberi.
I'm working
beriberi. I watched this about 10 times this morning. Did you see the guy who was he's a lawyer in Texas, and he was having a high-powered Zoom call with the judge, and somehow the cat filter went on his video? So
no,
it's like a judge, another high-powered lawyer, and a kitten. On the Zoom call, and they try to talk him through it. He's obviously an older gentleman.
Is it like he looks like a kitten?
It's one of those filters
where it puts ears on him?
No, it's an actual cat, but the eyes are mirroring his eye motions, and the cat is talking when he talks. And so somehow they've captured it where when he starts to panic that he looks like a cat, the cat looks panicked. You need to see this video. It's great. But here's trying to talk this guy down from the fact that he looks like a cat on a high-powered Zoom call.
Ponton, I believe you have a filter turned on in the video settings. You might want to
can you hear me, Judge?
I can hear you. I think it's a filter.
It is, and I don't know how to remove it. I've got my assistant here. She's trying to, but... I'm prepared to go forward with it. I'm here live. I'm not a cat.
I can see that.
I'm not a cat.
I'm not a cat, Your Honor. But I've decided to continue practicing law well into my 90th year. He's not guilty, Your Honor.
Who was worse, that guy or the impeachment lawyer for Trump yesterday?
Oh, it's a tie.
Oh,
it's a tie.
God, unbelievable.
When I first started watching this, I said, this has got to be some sort of spoof or reenactment.
I couldn't believe what I was looking at.
I heard from several different news sources that Trump was at home watching, fuming and pacing.
Screaming.
Yes, yes. He was so
yelling
upset
at the TV. How dare you? It's too funny.
We hired the guy's that
suit.
Guy?
Right down to his suit.
I know.
Right down to his suit where he's like a 42 long wearing a 54 suit. It looked ridiculous.
It really did look like the
it looked like
the maitre d' gave him the jacket.
Better Call Saul would have been better.
Yeah.
Absolutely. 100%. More to come today.
I do love when there's just the little accidental slip up on the news and the person doesn't even catch it. Why does this make me laugh?
The huge move by Elon Musk could further launch Bitcoin into the financial mainstream.
Let's invest in Bitcoin.
Bitcoin.
It's the only Bitcoin you deal with. Bitcoin.
It's virtual money that you'll see again.
Bitcoin.
Bitcoin.
I have a question. As Jeff Bezos has gotten richer, has his laugh gotten more evil? People on TikTok say yes, and they put together this montage of a youngish Jeff Bezos. It starts when he actually had hair and moves through. Here's his laugh progressing.
Okay.
That's really good. That's supposed to be bad fun. And then disclosure.
Bitcoin.
Do you laugh more the wealthier you are? I don't know.
I think he laughs evil-er. I do,
You know, it depends. If you are, what's the term? FU money, where you have so much money you don't have to think about money. and you are somebody who is not burdened with that drive that you still have to keep creating, like, say, a Warren Buffett or a Bill Gates,
right?
You probably giggle and laugh a lot when you wake up in the morning.
I would think so.
I am so fabulously wealthy. There you are. I see a lot of guys that are super, super wealthy that seem pretty driven. That's how they got their wealth in the first place. They probably don't giggle as much.
Yeah, but this guy gets up, goes to his front porch, picks up the Post, and says, I own this. This is mine. So I don't know if I like this joke or not, but this guy hand-painted a face mask to match his nose, mustache, and mouth, so it looks like when he's wearing the face mask, it's at his chin. Does this make sense?
Yes.
So he goes into a car dealership. I don't know if this is a good joke to play.
Go in a dealership here and see if anybody notices.
Hey, sir.
Huh? Sorry?
Did you put your mask up?
My mask. It's up.
You have to put it over your nose.
It's over my nose.
Oh, wow. That is too cool.
You like that?
Bitcoin.
I love it. I'm sorry. I know. You're shaking your head, Oscar. Look, it's having a little fun. You're not putting anybody in danger. And it's getting people. I think it's great. I'm glad for the dealership that said, put it over your nose.
Yes.
God, I had another one. Where did I see him? I saw some dude. I can't tell you where I saw him. Man, right under the nose.
Of course.
Right under the nose, which is the oldie McOlderson. Like, pull it over. It's useless if you don't cover your nose. Yeah,
exactly.
As well.
Exactly. Right. And besides, if you don't cover your nose, your shiv might fall out.
Yeah, but no sinus infection.
That's your magic audio vault, everybody. Have a great Wednesday.
That's it. We got to get out of here. We will be back with a brand new episode and coming next week. And we can't give you an exact time or date, but we are planning some major changes for the Michael.
Yeah, I love it. It's
something
good stuff.
We think you're going to like an awful lot. Got to get out of here. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Michael O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bitcoin.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOMaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Ooh, that's a bingo.
Aloha means hello and goodbye. Goodbye.
Oh, good for you.
Good job.